Angelo Acerbi at the Torino Film Festival for Fred Film Radio. We are here with Daniel Dencik. Hello, Daniel.
Hello.
Director of Gold Coast, included in the Festa Mobile section of the festival. You are the second Danish film I see in this festival, which is pretty rare to see, like, more than one Danish movie in a film festival, actually. And both of those films are based on some real facts that happened in your country. Yours is an historical piece, because it's set in the basically in the Danish Guinea of early
1836,
exactly.
In West Africa.
Can you tell us, like, briefly what actually the facts were about?
Yeah, so Denmark was a slave trading nation for a few centuries, like many other European countries at that time. We transported goods from Denmark, weapons mainly, to Africa, and traded with the most powerful tribe. It was the Ashanti tribe. Mm-hmm. They got slaves for us, and we took the slaves and brought them to the West Indies, where we had colonies.
And it's not exactly a nice and fair trading, let's say.
Not so much fair trade here. So, but Africa, West Africa, was a trading post. It was not a colony. It was just a stretch of land, and Denmark had some forts on that coastline.
And was that thing a common known fact in Denmark, or did you find it out in a way that then were attracted to the issue?
Yeah, I mean, the fact that we had colonies is quite known in the West Indies. Because they stayed Danish for a long time up until the early 20th century, but the fact that we were so heavily involved in the African part of it is kind of unknown, and it's kind of something you don't want to talk about. Like, it's not told in the school. I've been going to a Danish school all my life, and we're not taught this. Mm-hmm. But I think it will change now, because my film was cause for a lot of attention in the media, and I think there is also something is happening now in the times that we can actually talk about it. And for me and my generation, maybe it's not so much a question of guilt and a bad consciousness. It's more a question of acknowledging the fact that we are a major player of how the world ended up the way it did. I mean, the fact that actually colonization, I think, is the one biggest demographical factor in forming the world. I mean, the fact that we moved...
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, the fact we moved so many people and so many goods, quite a few people moved so many other people to the Americas mainly, is why we have a city like New York or a country like Brazil and Cuba. So.
How did you work on research? I mean, you were helped by this correspondence that there was between this I don't remember which grade in the army was it that this man was sent by the king to the colony to create like cultivations to help them cultivate.
Yeah.
And the letters that he was writing to his girlfriend, his fiance back in Denmark.
Yeah, I did all the research I could. I read everything that there is to read. It's not a whole lot that is here. And then I went to Ghana, I think 4 times, and met with the people there who know something about it. And it's, I mean, my work is a work of fiction, but it's based on a lot of ideas of the time, because slave trade is actually forbidden when my movie takes place. But slavery is still tolerated. So the idea was to keep the slaves, but make them work where they are, actually. So
instead of moving them or selling them to somebody else.
Exactly. So make the plantations in Africa. That was like an idea of the king, the Danish king at that time. So for me, it made sense to make the main character a botanist. It would be better, because the real wolf, because there is also a real wolf, he was more like a bureaucrat. Mm-hmm. And he was also Jewish, in fact. And his story is also interesting, but I wanted to tell a more universal story.
So how much did you adapt the story of real wolf to the fictional wolf?
Yeah, I adapted quite a bit, like especially in the voiceover. I used his letters, because that's actually what started the whole thing. I found those letters in the Royal Library, real letters, and they were so angry and desperate and sad and angry. So I would just I just felt that it had a value for me to place the real words of the real wolf, even though it's a work of fiction. I wanted it to have some kind of necessity, you could call it. There was the film had an urgency to it.
How difficult was it to shoot it? Because I mean, it's the quality is fantastic. The aesthetics are very good and perfect. And you shot it a lot of on location there, I believe.
Yeah.
So how difficult was it to do that?
It was extremely difficult, of course. And we shot it for no money at all. We shot it for 2 million euro, which is nothing. Mm-hmm. So I've been gifted with a great cinematographer. Martin Munk is his name. And we had high standards, and we wanted to make it really beautiful and pay tribute to the aesthetics of that time also, because I think of it more, not so much a film about slavery and slave trade, but more a film about the romantics, the era of 1830s, 1840s, the paintings and the art of that time has inspired me more, actually. So I wanted it to be almost like a painting from that period.
Mm-hmm. Well, it worked, because actually the movie looks much richer than 2 million on screen. Yeah. So actually it did good. You said that your movie has been released in Denmark and that it created a lot of fuss. And how was, which kind of fuss did it create? I mean, there was a political issues around it, or?
It went both ways. I mean, at first the reviews were like extreme in the sense that they were very good or very bad, you know? And I think that is actually how the film will divide spectators all over the world, I think. So the reviews got a lot of the attention because they were so mixed. And then came like a debate afterwards about some people saw it as like a racist, like a propaganda for white supremacy, which I think is like a total misunderstanding. Because I think it is a film about a very racist period, and there is a lot of racists. I think like everyone in the film is a racist, because everyone was.
Yeah. Yeah, there are the good racists and the bad racists, but they were all racists.
And so some people said that it's like a stereotypical story about a white savior, but I think he's not at all a savior. He's like a fiasco, I think. He's like a failure, and if they read him as a savior, I think it tells more about them and our culture, that like automatically if you have a white man you think he's a savior, but you know, I think it's not the case in my film.
Actually, the savior is the kid, which is a black kid.
Exactly.
The only savior that there is him.
Exactly.
And which are your next projects, if you are still...
Yeah, so I'm...
If you have the strength to do something right away.
Yeah, for sure. No, I'm... I like mix my time between writing and directing, so I write books as well. Okay. So my next project is a book.
And more relaxing.
in a way. Yeah. So it will be published next year, but I'm also working on a new film. I'm living in Los Angeles at the time, so I like to make a film in English.
And my last question is like more technical one. I'm always curious about funding for movies, because you know, everybody, as you said, sometimes shoots movie with a very limited budget, but there are many movies to be shot, and many movies like yours that have a kind of difficult maybe issue that could be get even more difficult, the funding. How was it for you to find the money, even if it wasn't not much, to do that film?
I think it was, if you can speak about. It was not easy, but it was kind of easier than other projects, I think, because everyone could see that it was something that we needed to talk about. Mm-hmm. Like, I pointed at a void, you could say, like a vacuum, and no one knew it was a vacuum until we pointed the finger there. So everyone was interested in this vacuum and what happens if you bring up a story like this today, and kind of also an obligation to do it. So in that sense, we got money, and the funding was quite classical, you know, the Danish Film Institute and Danish Television, Danish Broadcasting, and some other like Scandinavian funds.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so thanks a lot. Thanks a lot to Daniel Dencik, director of Gold Coast, here at the Torino Film Festival. Angela Cerbi, Fred Film Radio, The Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.